Shalom Aleichem, B'yaf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Bechoros Mem Vav, Bechoros 46a, pagination is 91. We have the privilege of starting the 8th perek today. And about a quarter of the way down on the page, the perek begins. Yesh Bechor L'Nachala. There are cases where a child that's born is going to be a firstborn regarding inheritance. We have a specific law, Parshas Ki Tse, which states that a firstborn male child inherits a double portion. Now, how does double portion work? Simple, though there are cases of more sophistication, but the simple is that if there are three sons, you divide the assets into four portions, and the Bechor gets a double portion. In addition to that type of Bechor firstborn, there's another type of firstborn that we've been dealing with for much of the Masechta, although much of the Masechta so far has been really dealing with animal firstborn, non-kosher animal firstborn, in the case of a donkey, kosher animal firstborn that would be brought as a korban. In our time, no Beis HaMikdash, we wait for a mum, then you could shecht it, who owns it? The Kohen owns it. Now we're going to be dealing with firstborn by a person. So that's a different type of firstborn. And the Mishnah, quite creatively, is describing that there are cases that the word firstborn qualifies for one and not for the other. So you would have qualifying for Bechor in inheritance, but not firstborn to be redeemed regarding the Kohen. And you could have the reverse. You could have that it qualifies that it has to be redeemed from the Kohen, this child, but it doesn't qualify for inheritance. Or, as we can well imagine, it qualifies for both or does not qualify for either. And the Mishnah is going to develop this with a number of cases. We're not going to do all the cases, but the main thing for our session is to appreciate the structure of the Mishnah. We're going through examples of the different scenarios. Now, a person obviously can suggest that the case where the child in front of us doesn't qualify as a Bechor for either is when there was a firstborn before him. That's cute. The Mishnah is going to deal with it in a more sophisticated way, where there was something that happened either with this child or that preceded this child that gives us some sophisticated ruling. Again, if we wanted to, we could be very simplistic. Case that it doesn't qualify for either is the case that some child preceded. And the case where it qualifies for both is the conventional case of birth. Firstborn for both father and mother and qualifies for both. Okay, let's begin the Mishnah. Yesh Bechor L'Nachla Ve'ina Bechor L'Kohen. There's a case of Bechor for inheritance, but not to be redeemed from the Kohen. Bechor L'Kohen Ve'ina Bechor L'Nachla. You could have the reverse, that it's a Bechor firstborn regarding redemption from the Kohen, but it's not for inheritance. Or, Bechor l'nachla u'le Kohen, it's a Bechor in both regards. V'yesh'ein a Bechor lo l'nachla v'lo l'Kohen. Or, it's not a Bechor, not for inheritance, and not regarding the Kohen. And the Mishnah begins to dissect the overview. How do you have a case where a child is a firstborn for inheritance, but not for the Kohen? Haba achar nefalim, the child that's born after a nefel. The nefel is a child that's truly born, but does not have a prognosis of life, often translated as a premature, in a time when preemies didn't have a chance. So in such a case, where the child does not have a prognosis of life and indeed dies, so the child afterwards is not going to be a firstborn regarding redemption because he's not the one that opened the womb, Petarechem, but he is the Rachis Ono, the first that the father is concerned with, because the first child he gave up before it started. Another example, skipping into the middle of the Mishnah, Misha lo hayu lo banim, a person who didn't have children, v'nasa isha shekvar yolda, and married a woman that already gave birth. So it's not a firstborn regarding the Kohen, because there already was an opening of the womb with a previous child. But as far as the father goes, in terms of inheritance, this is a Bechor. This is his firstborn. And therefore, these are examples of Bechor l'nachala ve'im Bechor l'kohen. Firstborn regarding inheritance, but not for redemption from the Kohen. The Mishnah addresses the second example, about seven lines up, from the end of the Gemara. Misha hayu lo banim, a person who had children, v'nasa isha shelo yalda, and married a woman that has not given birth. So we see right away where this is going. He has children, so he already has his firstborn, but this woman is having her petarechem, the opening of her womb. This is her first child, and therefore this child is going to require redemption. V'chein, the Mishnah adds on another case, Misha lo shoasa la'acha baila shloshim chadashim, a woman who remarries without waiting the requisite 3 months after a previous marriage, which enables us to verify if a child would appear, whose child it is. We want to make sure there's a strong separation between the first husband and the second husband, described as 92 days inclusive, so that we know whose child it is. V'nisei, she got married too early. V'yalda, she gives birth. V'eina yodua, and it's not known if it's a full-term baby to the first husband or a short gestation to the second husband. Bechor l'kohen, it'll be a bechor for the kohen. Child's got to be redeemed because it is indeed the opening of the womb. Ve'ina bechor l'nachala, but he's not a firstborn for inheritance because we can't prove who the father really is. Rashi, in the last words on this page, comments over Gemara Parach, the Gemara will ask, Dafilu Pashat Nami Lohave. Not only is he not a firstborn to get double, he's not even a Pashut, he's not even a regular inheritor because he can't prove by the children of the first husband or by the children of the second husband whether he's the child of this one or of that one. So that's a question that has to be addressed, but the Mishnah is using it as an example of not being a Bechor in terms of inheritance. Let's skip, turning two pages, to Memzayin Amid Beis, tomorrow's daf, page 94, or 47b, and we have at the bottom of the page, Masnisin, the last quarter of the page, the continuation of our discussion, the last two cases that were outlined. Ezeu Bechor L'Nachla Ule Kohen. Give me an example of a child that's going to be a Bechor both for inheritance and for redemption. And we commented, well, that's the regular case, but that's not where the Mishnah wants to take this. We want something more sophisticated. And the Mishnah gives a number of examples, including Hamapeles Liyom Arbaim. If a woman has a miscarriage, she loses the pregnancy on the 40th day. So as Rashi tells us, Mem yom have yetziras havlad. The child needs 40 days to be classified as a fetus, And if the miscarriage occurs before the 41st day, still on the 40th day, a child born after that incident would still be a firstborn in all respects. Now, just to observe that the fact that from conception until the 41st day, until the child is not considered a child, does not mean that an abortion can be done during that time. We will even be mechalal Shabbos to preserve the potential life that's developing over here. But the child is not yet a child to be defined as the peterechem and the firstborn. The Mishnah continues, Yotzei Dofen, a child that comes out from the side, meaning a C-section, Vahabo Acharov, and the child that comes after that, Shenein Einon Bechor, Lo Lenachla, Velo Lekohen. Both of them are not considered a Bechor, not for inheritance and not for redemption. It's not Peterechem, it's not opening the womb, and it's not the birthing that would cause inheritance of the firstborn status. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.